Hey, okay, so this is the first time I did a series that went on for 50 messages or whatever like this in a long time. But there's so much when you think of God as a friend, to be said. I think unless I just come up with a new catchy title, this message will go on as long as we have ministry, because this is a strong revelation. And a powerful revelation to have, to know that God is willing and wanting to be and is a friend. And so I want us to immediately, ASAP, right away, turn to Proverbs, no, Psalms, I'm sorry, Psalms 25. Psalms 25. And I'm in the Amplify. I'm going to read from that and then I'm going to add a book. I'm going to probably add King James to it. Let me see. See which is the other version of it that I like. Well, let's just go with KJV. Can't go wrong there. Now, I'm going to start at verse 12. Now, when I was reading the King James, I saw all these alphabets or names for section of each verse, and I didn't know what they were. I tried to look it up. I still haven't completely found what it is. It looked like alphabets. Nonetheless, each verse is broken into a point, and I mean, or into one of these alphabets. And I said, in the King James, and I said, well, let me just read it in the Amplified and see if it breaks it down more thorough. And what I found is the point of God's friendship is not only very, very strong in what we're about to read today, but okay, this is a good way to explain it. Do you understand that we serve a sacrificial God? You're kind of shaking your head like, yeah. But do you really? Okay. Like, he sacrificed his son for us. We got that. But man had to make a sacrifice, right, for his sin before Christ came through the animals. And there was always this covenant type of thing where there's an exchange of something in the area of obedience. And then with that exchange, then there's a manifestation. So I'm gonna say it again. There's an exchange of something, a sacrifice of something dear or close. Even the tithe, if you think about it, is the sacrificial. You know, you people are like, I make this money, I don't want to give this money away. God says, no, well, you know, you rob God. But if you tithe, I open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you don't have the room to receive. Now, let me sit this down a minute. Let me say this again. The sacrificial God, meaning God is a God of sacrifice. He sacrificed for us, but he asks for us to sacrifice for him. Maybe that's the direction I would take it. And so he's saying, well, nope, give and it should be given unto you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. And in every one of these circumstances or situations that you see where God is asking for something of you, you listening? The return on it, even in scripture, is always so much bigger than the ask. So you go out and you plant seed in the ground, and you take a couple of little seed and you put it in the ground, and what grows? A tree that produces way more seeds or fruit or vegetable. So again, there's a giving of something or a sacrifice of something. You got a bunch of pumpkin seeds, you can eat them and they're gone. Or you can plant them and grow a pumpkin patch and have a lot more seeds. Listen close to what I'm saying. So in the sacrifice, there's always requiring of you to give something, but in the giving, there's always a return that is hundredfold over what you gave. Now, this is not an offering message where I'm trying to raise an offering, okay? But I'm trying to let you see the benefit of the friendship leans always in our favor. In other words, whatever he asks of us, He always responds, not in kind, but exceedingly abundantly above what you bring to the offering. Now, that's weird because let's think about an earthly friendship or human friendship, right? Even a friendship between you and a pet. People gotta get a dog for company, right? So the dog says, okay, I'm gonna be your dog, I'm gonna be your friend, I'm gonna get up under your feet, I'm gonna jump up on you when you come in the house and make you feel good. And you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna make sure I have food, you're gonna make sure I have, you know, what I need to keep me feeling good, right? You know, and you're gonna walk me unless you want, you know, what I have to offer on your carpet or on your floor, you're gonna take me for walks, but there's reciprocal. And that dog's affection is gonna be based on the affection that you give that dog. Are we all on the same page right now? Everything requires something that receive in reciprocation, or they call it the law of reciprocity. But as I've been looking at this message and looking at this thing, I'm going, okay, God, you really give us a very unfair advantage because you ask for something from us, but then what you give in return is so much grander than what you ask of us that it's kind of an unfair friendship from your perspective, on your side of it. Watch this. But let me ask you, even in putting money in the bank and they offer you interest, they don't ever offer you interest, watch this, of 100 times what you put in the bank. They don't even offer you, on most part, 10 times what you put. They offer you a percentage. They don't offer you a multiplication. I'm dragging this along because I really need you to understand that this friendship is about God, you know, the word says exceedingly abundantly, but God saying, be my friend and I will give to you what you can never give to me. I will outdo you. Give me a friendship. Why am I doing this? Well, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to come back and tell you why I'm breaking this down so thorough. Let's start at verse 12 in Psalm 25, if you just got here. Reading out the Amplified. Who is the man who fears the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worship? Now, I want to make sure I read it from here because we don't understand the word fear a lot of time. He don't want you to be afraid of him. This is not a word of trembling and cowardice fear. This is a word of worship and honor and respect. So it says with awe inspired, somebody say awe inspired, worship. We know what awe is. Yes, everybody knows the definition of awe, to be in awe, right? Okay, so I said A-W-E, awe. If not, look it up right now. To just be in awe of somebody, just be just spellbound, blown away, right? The awe-inspired reverence and worship him with submissive wonder. Now, if I can get past this verse, we're going to do okay. With submissive wonder, that's still about awe-inspired worship. And he's saying submission with wonder, excitement like a child, like who worships the Lord in awe and is submissive to the point of wonder. How many of you can admit that sometimes that submission thing can be an issue? But he's saying, submit to me with wonder and like excitement. It's almost like you're telling your children, now they're older, it's different. Well, you know, well, if you do this and you clean your house and you do this, at the end of the week, I'm going to buy you a bike. They didn't see your wallet. They don't know if you even have the money. They don't know if you're lying unless you did it to them enough times. They don't trust you anymore. They are cleaning that room like they're cleaning stuff that don't need to be cleaned. They're cleaning it twice because there is such submission and there's such awe to who you are and what you promise that they approach it with this excitement and expectation that only somebody who has a true heart and submission and commitment to you and trust in you can do. Now, I'm coming to the reality for myself. I ain't gonna speak for you, God. I've been missing that I submit and I behave and I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but it's not all the time with awe and wonder. It's just because the fear of repercussion. And that's not what he's looking for. So the fear he's talking about is not afraid that he's gonna get you if you don't, or things are gonna go wrong if you don't, but more of a, I'm excited to be in this place of submission because what the expectation is has to be phenomenal. Did I speak to you just then? What I just said to you is real powerful. It might sound simple, but it's powerful. God, I want to submit to you with a childlike wonder. That's why he said, except you come as one of these little children, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Children come with excitement and expectation. Got it? He said, submissive wonder. Like I said, I hope I can get past this verse today because that's not the verse I want to land on, but I want to push that one through. God, help me to be like a child again when I come to you. Help me come to you with submissive wonder. Help me come to you with joy and expectation on my heart that even if you tell me to submit and not do something that I want to do, that I'm excited about what the outcome must be because I've submitted to you. This heart, this spirit, this mindset. And the people of God said, I want that. I want that with all my heart. So he said, come to him with submissive wonder. He will teach him through his word in the way that he should choose. His soul will dwell in prosperity and goodness, and his descendants will inherit the land. Let me stop right there. Remember when I talked about this unfair exchange? Remember I talked about that? He said, just come to me with excitement and submissive wonder and expectation, and I'm not only going to bless you, I'm going to bless your children, I'm going to bless the generations. I just need you to understand already the deal is not fair on his behalf, but then yet very fair. Because we can never give to him what he can give to us. So, or he's asking for us, watch this, is love, trust, and submission. Let's say it. Love, trust, and submission. And how are we submitting? With wonder, with joy, with excitement, with expectation. This, I'm not even talking about material right now. I'm talking about the heart that I want with all my might to have for God right now. And if you tell me do this or don't do this, even if it goes against what I feel deep in my side insides, I'm going to do it like a child with excitement, expecting that there's a goodie bag for me in the realm of the spirit that I receive because of that submission. And so everything is going to tie back to that. So I want you to watch this now. Watch this. I'm going to start over again without talking and then go to the next verse. Who is the man, signed in verse 12? Who is the man who fears the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with submissive wonder? He will teach him through his word in the way he should choose. His soul will dwell in prosperity and goodness, and his descendants will inherit the land. Now, verse 14, this is still part of just this one request. For you to fear him. Ready? Verse 14. The secret of the wise counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. Right back to that top. And he will let him know his covenant and reveal to them through his word his deep and inner meanings. Now, watch this. I'm gonna read this out of the King James, just the verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secrets of the Lord are hidden for those who, verse 12. The secrets of the Lord are for those who are, verse 12. Now watch this. Verse 12 in the King James. What man is he that fears the Lord? For him, he should teach him the way that he should choose. Now, you want to choose your own way, or you want to choose his way? And I really was comfortable with saying, well, Lord, I would choose your way. And maybe this is where I can almost bring the message home already. The scripture said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So you can be obedient and not be willing and wonder why you're not eating the good of the land. If your lack persists over his goodness, say that one more time. If your lack persists over his goodness, then you may not be willing and obedient, or you may be willing and not obedient, or you may be obedient but not willing. Either one, willing and obedient is where the prosperity comes from. God, not only am I willing to do what you ask me to do, not only am I obedient to what you ask me to do, but I'm both. Now, there are times that I've been obedient, and everybody here was going to agree, and anybody watching, but you weren't willing. Your heart wasn't willing. You did it, like I said, for fear of repercussion. And what I'm learning from this friendship is God doesn't want you and I to serve him as a scared, petrified student. He wants, thinking that you're going to get a failed grade. He wants you to serve him as a friend who is excited to be a part of what he's a part of and loves him and is submitted to what he's calling you to do with the childlike faith and understanding that the end result of that is him pouring out on you way more than you can ever submit. Who needs to hear what I'm saying right now? Because this is powerful. I no longer wish to serve God out of the fear of repercussion. I want to serve God out of submissive wonder. I want to serve God out of that kind of friendship where he says to me, and because you do, I will open up the secrets of the kingdom and show them to you and show you what you need to do. So here's the challenge or call of the day. Do you submit? You don't have to raise your hands. Are you submitted to God in every situation? I guarantee you, you got a big no on a lot of those, right? When you do you submit with joy, like a child, with excitement and awe and wonder? Or do you do it because you don't want to hear his mouth? And that, my child, is where we get stuck. That's where we miss out on the ultimate blessings of God. Because I can sit here and honestly admit to you, I've obeyed a lot of things because, and God honors that, you obeyed me, but that overflow of blessing and wonder does not come from that kind of submission. That only comes from a childlike joy to submitting to him. And this is what I want to offer today. This friendship doesn't require much of me. Watch this, but it requires the right attitude. Now, if you got kids, or you've been around kids, or you've been around kids with something, and you know you tell a child to do something, and they start, and they do this, you are not saying, oh, I'm going to go take you shopping. No, that's not a motivation for you to want to be a blessing to them. They did it, and their reward is they did it, and they didn't get punished. And that's it. But when they say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy, whatever you need. Is there anything else I can do for you? No, did I do that right? Did you like that? Okay. And look, and I even added a little extra to that. You're like, you know what, baby? Let's get in the car. We're going somewhere. Because it's a different kind of a heart. And what I'm realizing is I ain't speaking on you. I have been obedient for the sake of not being judged, but not obedient for the sake of being in awe and in love with the person who gave the instruction. So this is a good place for me to wrap it up. I've learned over the years of preaching, once you get a good message in, don't dilute it with a bunch of other stuff and throw people off track. I'm going to read the first verse again, and we're going to wrap it up. But this is where the power is. Who is the person who fears the Lord? It says man, but I'm going to say person. With awe-inspired reverence and worship him with submissive wonder. To that person, he will teach them his through his word the way they should choose. His soul will dwell in prosperity. And I want to really push this. His soul will dwell in prosperity and goodness. That's not talking about your pockets yet. This is just talking about your soul. Your soul will dwell in prosperity and goodness. And your descendants will inherit the land. Why? Because your soul dwells in it. You're going to pass it on to them. If your soul dwells in lack, that's what you're going to pass on to your kids. If your soul dwells in worry, that's what you're going to pass on to your kids. If your soul dwells in rebellion, that's what you're going to pass on to your kids. You're going to pass on what you have. So if your soul dwells in prosperity and goodness, then you're going to pass that on to your descendants. Right? And his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the wise counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he will let them know his covenant and reveal to him to them through his word and in deep inner meanings. And I'm going to say of his purposes and plans for your life. I choose today, and I pray that you do too, to have God restore to me the innocence of a child, and that I worship him and I submit to him with joy and awe and wonder, trusting that he always takes care of those of us who love him. And I'll say this for ending. The word he gave for this year was a dynamic explosion, and it was of his blessings to those who've done this. And that's what I needed when I saw this verse. I said, now I understand what you mean by that. For those of us who not just submitted to you, but submitted to you with the right heart and the right character. Who's in? I'm in. Who's in? I want this with all my heart. Amen. Love you guys. Blessings of God.